Hey, welcome to The Weekend. It's time for Group Chat, the place where everyone comes together to talk all things pop culture, whether it's music.
Yeah, Beyonce has 11 nominations.
I think that's aggressive.
including album of the year.
I am happy that she is getting some play.
Mm-hmm. Movies and TV.
In comedy, like, we had memes, we had GIFs, we had people being Rickrolled, we had That's What She Said, we had, you know, like, we had all that stuff. So I think it's also just
it's
where
like
we are in
part
time.
Part of the trend, yeah.
How do you know when to move on? How do you know when something's stale?
How long do we do Chuck Norris jokes for?
Or sports moments that have everyone talking.
If you're watching a television show and somebody's wearing a Bills jersey, like, they're going to notice that and zoom in on that Bills jersey and be like, I like this show, I like these characters. Somebody who doesn't really necessarily care about the Bills, or maybe they follow a different team, they're not going to see that, they're not going to have that same connection, because their perceptual ability is just, it's a different set of references.
Group Chat brings you all the pop culture action with sharp insight, fun debates, and a whole lot of laughter.
Coming up right after this.
Hello and welcome to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and today I'm excited to welcome Naila Ansari-Cotillo, professor at Buff State University, choreographer and performing artist, to name just a couple of the things that you do. Kyle Mecca, director, filmmaker, and co-founder of Casting Buffalo and Giant Monster Productions. And Corey McCants, performer and host of Buffalo Toronto Public Media's digital series Compact History and Compact Civics. And also, your new Instagram is It's Corey V. Mm. So that's your actor.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a great show for today. First, we're unpacking the pressure and perception around Hollywood beauty standards. Then we're keeping it local with a spotlight on Buffalo's growing movie scene. And finally, we'll raise the curtain on the world of musical theater from the bright lights of Broadway to the beating heart of Buffalo stages. But first, what are you all talking about in your group chats? What's going on in your worlds? Nayla, you're in rehearsals.
In rehearsals. So one is just like we got to do this, and this. That's like one group chat, and then it's like the political group chat where everyone's just like slightly vomiting about the news of the day. Mm-hmm. And then there's just my regular friend group chat that's like, we're upset summer's ending.
Oh, I know. Wow. Once August hit, I got the summer coming too fast.
Yeah.
Listen, my birthday was July 26th, and I always say whenever it hits, we're done.
Yes, we're done.
Because you know September 1st will happen, and like we'll be in the spooky season.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Boom.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, okay,
spirits
cool.
are already Which, getting built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle, that just sounds like an excuse to make everybody celebrate your birthday more.
Well, maybe.
This is the final
it's
one,
the end
y'all.
Of summer. too funny. Yeah, it's been crazy busy here this summer for film. And television, it's just been nonstop. Actually, for this entire year, has been really, really impressive. And currently, there are two features going on right now in Buffalo, and another one about to start up in about a week and a half. And I'm directing a commercial, and I'm going insane, but it's a good insane. So,
Corey, you're doing summer. You're transitioning right now because you're doing summer.
Yeah.
School,
so yeah, summer school is happening right now. But I think my group chats are. You know, my sibling group chat, I think maybe last weekend I got my nephew. So I had my nephew for a little bit of time. So like me texting my siblings about that, showing that I'm the favorite uncle, you know what I mean?
How old is your nephew?
Five. He's five.
Oh,
now.
That's a good age. That's a good age. That's fun.
But then like in my friend group chat, a few of us, I don't know what I can and can't talk about, but a few of us, we're up for a commercial. It would be like all of us, like me and all my homies in a commercial. So if that works out, it would be really great. We're waiting to hear back from them. And then one of my boys just made a digital cookbook. He's a chef, Chef Lamont. He just made a digital cookbook that he's about to start selling. So like showing us like, what about this? What about this? So that like insight is super dope to see someone from that other side making something like that. You know what I mean?
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's cool. It's dope.
So Kyle, you mentioned how busy things are in the production world here in Buffalo. So we're going to be talking a lot about that in this episode. And obviously in the theater world, lots going on. Some of the things that have been coming up in pop culture lately, you know, the Naked Gun movies being talked about, Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson. Everybody likes a good couple gossip story. Yeah. Right. What have these things, especially Pamela Anderson, what kind of conversations have you heard have been started about beauty standards?
Mm. I just think Pamela Anderson is just the wrong person to deliver the message.
Mm.
I just it's just like, what are we doing? You were like one way for so long, and then all of a sudden it was just like no makeup, and we're just gonna act like you're not Pamela Anderson. That's Pamela Anderson, because now you're just like a regular, like you're just giving grandma vibes.
But
auntie, I'll give auntie.
Auntie.
But we're back to like the Alicia Keys thing, and Alicia Keys is back to her makeup and skin line. What are we doing?
But I feel like with the Pamela Anderson thing, it's very much it's showing growth. I feel like from being at beauty standard for so long and now is like, I'm going to go clean slated. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually find someone who probably cares about me, which is someone like Liam Neeson, you know, who was with Natasha Richardson for years until that tragedy happened and all that. So I don't know. It's very interesting. It's also kind of like a weird reflection of the movie The Substance that happened like a year ago.
Man,
So I mean, like, there's some areas going on.
I just don't know if Hollywood is your place for growth. It's not just about like being natural. It's like sometimes a whole lot of lights don't look good on, on your skin.
Thank you.
I just don't want to look at you looking like I don't want to see Patti LaBelle not be Patti LaBelle or like Dolly Parton. I don't want to see them not be who they are in Hollywood.
To both of your points, I think that there is a level of like, I mean, fun history fact. When you talk about makeup in Hollywood and those lights specifically, it was a political debate between Nixon and maybe Kennedy or something like that. Nixon was like, I'm not putting makeup on. Like, I'm a man. Get out of here. I'm not doing that. JFK had it on. And in the interview, this was like one of the first televised interviews, you see Nixon sweating and you see all this and it makes him look unprepared.
Right.
And JFK has the makeup on. He's chilling. He's doing his thing. And like, so to your point of outside of just like, oh, beauty standards, why you want, if all the lights are on you, why you want makeup on her? You know what I mean? There's a reason. But then to the other point of just growth and stuff like that, I think it points more to what the beauty standards were and are.
Yeah.
And so like Pam Anderson for a long time was that beauty standard, Carmen Electra and all that. And growing up, As a young black boy, I'm like, I mean, yeah, they're beautiful, but like that's not what I'm looking at. You know what I mean?
Say, so like, same way.
So what the beauty standard even was? Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe it's time for us to hold a light up to what that was, because now these people or these women are like, yeah, I don't want to be the standard. Like I want to chill. Like I want to be. I don't know. It's something for like both sides of that.
Truly, who was that gaze for?
With
wasn't
the red
us.
Swimsuit.
We were too young.
Right. Oh, you've gone back and watched Baywatch clips.
The run in with the
slow-mo run? Yeah. I've heard.
But like looking into like makeup and Hollywood and everything, like I think the really, really interesting part is that, and I think a lot of people just don't grasp it, is that like everyone's favorite movie star probably knows more about makeup than anyone else.
Yes.
Because that is their life. Mm-hmm. Like every day they're in that makeup trailer for at least 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a good 80% of them, like big stars, have their own makeup artist that they've been friends with and like hired and is part of their entourage. You know what I mean? That comes in. So I think that's like how ingrained it is into that society. So I guess when you look at it, like, is Pam making a statement for everyone, including her industry, or is she just sick and tired of it?
Which I think she's just sick and tired of it.
With age comes not lack of caring. Yeah. You'd be like, bro, I'm not doing all
this. I think she's like, this is like my 800th like red carpet event, and I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I think maybe we read more into it than anything else.
100%.
Like, I think she's, you know, I think everyone's like, oh my God, look, she's on this journey. And she could not be on that journey.
Right.
She could still be wilding out at home doing like she was.
She forgot once and she's like, all right.
And that's it.
This is
we're here now.
This is my new brand. Yeah.
Right.
I'm cool.
Or she just didn't feel like it one day and was like, you know what?
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny what you said about actors knowing about makeup, because I think about that with TV personalities too, because like, you know, I was always on podcasts and radio, and then it's all of a sudden everything's on video now.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
I didn't ever have to worry about like camera makeup, but like news broadcasters, that's their life. And that's always, they know how to do that anywhere. They can pop up and be in the storm and wind and a blizzard and like have their makeup ready in the TV vehicle so that when they go do a shot just to be like, you know, blowing around in the wind, They look good and they know what to do.
And they know their good sides. They know their bad sides. They know the products that they love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a crazy journey.
And, you know, it could be a rebellion with Pam, too, because she always was that.
Well, that's, I mean, it's Pam. Yeah. I just don't take it. I just think it's her being like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you brought up Alicia Keys, which.
Oh, that was,
she...
I don't know what, the, I don't know. I think it was just for her. I think that was just a total Brandon thing.
I liked it, man.
For her skincare. I think that was like, my skin is clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here comes my skin line.
Yeah. It worked on me.
I mean, it worked on me. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
But there's certain women that can do that.
Yeah, right, right.
Alicia Keys is one of those women that can do, a Holly Berry can do that. There's certain people that's like.
But, you know, I do think, though, that it, I think, this is my opinion, for like the average guy that doesn't really know, their idea of like what a natural face is, or what like, oh, a little bit of makeup is so skewed that to see someone on television with an actual natural face is like, this is the reality. Like, what you see on Instagram is not the daily. Nobody's waking up like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I do think it's important from that side to be like, all these, you know, women or men that you idolize and all that, like, that is not the everyday. And so there's like a voice to be, you know, heard in that aspect.
Yeah.
That like natural faces are okay, and they sometimes look like this. Eyebrows sometimes look like this. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's that side of it that I wonder. But I mean,
I think social media did ruin it, though.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, remember, I mean, Holly Berry was like a crackhead losing to Isaiah. Losing Isaiah. What was the name of the movie? That was
Losing Isaiah. Yeah.
And like, nobody thought anything of it. Like, oh, she looks terrible.
Right.
Like, they
right,
were like,
right.
She's playing a
drug addict. Yeah. Yeah.
And then when she got on the red carpet, she was like, and this is a Holly Berry that I know.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I just think we got out of like the characters and like the actors that were portraying.
Blended.
And it's now too much.
Yeah.
Like, people are going outside as whole character. Like, Nicki Minaj, like, I don't know. Everybody is trying to be like a Nicki Minaj, Cardi B. You know.
Well, in case you just joined us, you're listening to you're listening to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with Kyle Mecca, Naila Ansari-Cotillo, and Corey McCants. Kyle, you know, we've been talking about beauty standards, but where does that fall into guidelines in the casting industry?
It's a weird hill to like kind of like explore, because when it comes to like casting, which is what my world is, and directing, but like with casting, we're dealing with so many different voices and opinions that come through from either, you know, different directors or agencies or producers or, you know, whoever it comes from. And they all have a vision that is very, you know, specific. And then those beauty standards are within those specific visions. We either can be looking at performance or we could be looking literally at beauty standards. And to be like, this is what we have to choose from because this is the guidelines that we're given. You know, and ultimately, like as casting directors, we're in charge of basically creating a wide net and finding people who fit within the guidelines that are given to us. And then we present. So ultimately, we aren't decision makers. You know, we are not decision makers. We're not the reason why you didn't get that role. Sorry, Cor. But we are, you know. but like we are helping to guide a vision, like most people on a film set or a television or commercial, you know, and we're presenting it. So those decisions come from up top. And when you get into film, I think especially genre film, what's really interesting is what can kind of really change that overlooked guideline is someone's performance. But I've kind of trained myself to like, here, this is what we've been given to cast off of. This is what I'm looking for within the environment and the character. But like, show me what you got.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, you know, when Naila brought up Halle Berry, like, you know, if she walked into a room, you wouldn't think, okay,
crackhead.
She would make
a
good crackhead.
Yeah.
You know?
Knew it.
You know, and then, you know, you have the other areas of now people getting plastic surgery. And this is not just women.
Yeah.
This is men, too. Yep. And, you know, male-identifying people, female-identifying people. And, you know, Harrison Ford was just asked if he ever plans to retire from acting. And his answer was no. And he said that one good thing about acting is that older actors are needed to play older roles. So he's not worried about aging. He's like, everybody needs, you know, an older guy in film. And, you know, and then there's the facelift trends. So, you know, do you feel that there is a double standard? Is there, you know, because you are seeing just as many males now in the spotlight getting the plastic surgery. But is it more acceptable for males to grow old gracefully?
Yeah, I think so. The expectation for women is that they're going to look gorgeous until they're like 80, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a long range. With men, it's like George Clooney. It's like, oh, you're 40 and got some gray hair? Oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's amazing. We're going to be on GQ and everything else. With women, there's like thing now, I mean, I think the plastic surgery is just out of control. And a lot of it, I just think, is insecurity because there's so much coming at you on social media that the expectation is I have to look like this, like we were talking about earlier, all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think people are just trying to get the plastic surgery to enhance what they look like all the time.
Yeah.
But it backfires. Like a lot of that stuff, like, you know, there was, what was it, Kay Michelle, she had to get all of her like implants taken out that she got like a BBL or something. I mean, it's dangerous. Yeah, it's surgery. It's not like it's just something that's like light and put some makeup and take it off. So I think there is a double standard because men can look, you know, old and be found attractive. Women, it's not the same. Like no one was like, oh my gosh, I just think Patti LaBelle is so fine. Said, love her. But you know what I mean? But that's not what they're saying.
Someone,
about
and then enter
Madonna. There's someone. There's someone. But like the average 20, 30-year-old person, that's not who they're identifying as someone that looks good. Even Dolly Parton is like, much as we love her, and she's like a sex symbol at one point, she's like, everybody's like auntie now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then Mick Jagger enters the conversation.
Love Mick Jagger, though. Love Mick Jagger. And this is just, and this just proves the point, right? Because, like,
there's no universal answer. We're talking about, like, majority. And I agree, because if you talk about Pam Grier, I mean, I was 15, like, I would marry this woman. You know what I mean? So, like, for me specifically, it didn't matter how old Pam Grier got. I thought she was fine, but that's not everybody.
Right, right, right.
And the same with that, because also Denzel, like, for what Denzel was to who he is now, like, Denzel was closer to grandpa.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But who Denzel was through the 90s? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like in that side,
I think he keeps getting better and better, but you know.
But that's,
that's our body. Like, listen, that's my
cousin in Gladiator. I said, come on, what you
he was
my choreography.
Yeah, man.
I was for it.
but I do, like, when you talk about, like, Mickey Rourke or, I mean, Sylvester Stallone at this point, Zac Efron, like all these guys, for whatever reason that they're getting it, you are seeing it more and more. So I think on that front, it is, it's perceived as like weirder. It's like, why are you getting it as a guy? So in that front, it's like, it's not as accepted for men, but are women getting it somewhere often because they feel like they need it so much more? Like the standards are on them so much heavier. But then you think about, I heard a story of, it was Tom Cruise, and who played his opposite in Top Gun? Blonde girl, Top Gun.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't asked back.
Yeah.
No, but also, so it was McGinnis. Maybe it was like the Joe Rogan podcast or something like that. But like they talked about what she looks like now, and it's like she just looks like a 60-something-year-old woman.
Right. How she should look. Which,
but what does Tom Cruise look like right now? And Tom Cruise,
a good plastic surgeon. Him and Jane Fonda probably got the same one. Jane Fonda, you're right. I don't rock with the plastic surgery, but whoever her surgeon is, that's who I want.
But my point is, in that sense, Tom Cruise has been getting work consistently that whole time, but also like he could still play an action star, like as believable as it can be, because he's like you know, shorter guy, he's older. But he can still do it. And if she were to come play his love interest, it would be like, this is weird. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But I think the demand for men to be that rugged, older, Liam Neeson, like, oh, even Idris Elba at this point.
Yeah. I was going to say, but that George Clooney standard that you brought up.
Right.
I feel like that was the first one to bring that conversation. Like,
it's true. Oh, he's good.
He's a silver fox.
Yeah.
And it's more acceptable, I think, for older men to be with younger women, too.
Yeah.
Like, the cougar thing is like, I guess, kind of. But it's not as, I feel like, as accepted.
Yeah.
When we come back from the break, we're talking about the local film industry. Don't go away. Group Chat on BTPM NPR. We'll be right back. Thanks for checking out Group Chat, our new pop culture show on WBFO that talks about what you're talking about each week. Music, movies, food, technology, arts, culture, and more. And we want to know what's on your mind. Join the chat by dropping us an email at groupchat@wbfo.org. We welcome your questions, comments, and suggestions on what you want us to talk about. Thanks for joining us again on Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and I'm joined by Naila Ansari-Cotillo, professor at Buff State University, choreographer and performing artist. Kyle Mecca, director, filmmaker, and co-founder of Casting Buffalo and Giant Monster Productions. And Corey McCants, performer and host of Buffalo Toronto Public Media's digital series, Compact History and Compact Civics. We always need the history. You brought a lot of history into that last conversation.
Yeah, I always
appreciate your knowledge.
Yeah.
I learned something today. So Buffalo's been getting a lot of attention lately for productions, mm-hmm. and Kyle is here because he is the co-founder of Casting Buffalo. So can you explain to people that don't know what Casting Buffalo is and what your role is there?
Yeah, so Casting Buffalo is a local casting company that does castings for film, television, commercials, anywhere in Western New York, a little bit beyond. And we are not an agency, so we're not someone who like owns talent and talent belongs to. We are casting directors, three of us. It's myself. There is my partners, Harry Lipsitz and Peter Johnson. And all three of us are basically hired out by productions that come in the town. And we are then cast the roles that they're searching for. And either that be from principal to supporting to day players, which is someone who has like one or two, three lines, like local baker or like the automotive guy or whatever. And then background, which is our background extras. And we kind of like spanned that, and we've done it for about 10 years, but about only five as a company. And it has been an amazing journey for us to do here. It's really heating up. And we've been talking about it for a few years, but I think with the different, SAG was going through things, and Writers Guild were going through strikes. Yeah. And then we had some like controversy with the tax credit in Buffalo. And now everything's like here.
Right.
And we've been hearing about it, and they kind of just been waiting for it. And now it just boom, 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 boom. We've already done like six features this year.
Which is great. That's amazing. Yeah.
You know, so it's been crazy. But that's Casting Buffalo. And I come from that film world as a director from Buffalo State. So
Woo!
I graduated from Buffalo State,
Buffalo State
in 2013.
Television, film arts,
yes.
There you go.
And actually last year I was lucky enough to actually adjunct for a semester in the program teaching TFA students.
Yeah. Full circle.
And that was in a beautiful full circle.
Gotta bring you back.
Right.
So Nayla, being on all sides of this, what does it mean for especially programs at Buff State, what does it mean for the community to have these kind of things happening in Buffalo?
Well, it's important because we actually, a lot of people don't know, statistically, we actually lose a lot of our college graduates and they go elsewhere because there's no jobs for them. Yeah. That includes the arts. Yeah. A lot of times they just kind of are looking into like these kind of corporate private sectors and we're only like keeping 30%, if that, of our students here, and everyone else is just like out, like I gotta go someplace else because no one's leaving.
Yeah.
But for the arts, that's significantly less.
Yeah.
So to even have performers here that can actually keep a job here for what they went in school for is incredible. And, you know, we kind of just think actors, but in terms of like television, film arts, that's, you know, cameras, that's the costumes, that's lights, that's everything that you can think of on the technical side and creative side as well. So it's important. I mean, we had actually just talked about that because the show Dreamgirls, you know, is coming up.
Yeah.
It's an all Buffalo cast. And I would say majority of them are SUNY students, whether it's Fredonia, Buff State, UB, either alums or are in school right now in Niagara University as well. That's huge for us because the moment people can, they're like, I'm going to New York.
Right.
I'm going to LA.
Right.
Yep.
And we can't sustain here. And with that being said, we all need more money. So that's, you know, something I'll put out there too, is that we can only continue the pipeline because we have people investing in the arts. And a lot of times people just think it's like on the nonprofit side of like a grant is going to get it. And it's not. Like movies make money. Theaters make money. There's investments that are not just in what you see all the time, that it has to be tech. Or has to be food, or has to be all of these things. The arts keep, economically, we know they keep cities thriving. You know, Lion King just came here. I think it was over $16 million that we brought in just for like the local area. That's
crazy.
Not ticket sales. That's
just the local
area for parking,
restaurants,
for that brings into the economy. And if we don't have that pipeline, then we don't also have a thriving city.
Yeah.
And I mean, and New York State invested in film.
Yes.
They turned around and they said, we are going to do a tax credit
and
do one of the best inside the country, especially if you go outside of New York City.
So upstate, there's more,
upstate, right? Yeah, you get it above the line as well, which is something that really drives people here. But it's the investment. One feature film is going to bring in millions and millions of dollars because you got to think of like the hotel rooms, the food services, the carpentry, production design, going and buying from places and businesses
local
and small
hiring.
And local
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
And then like if you keep it here, you just extend these amazing relationships that mm-hmm. you've built with all of these mm-hmm. businesses, and you get to go back to the well.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Over
right.
and over right. again.
And Kyle, you may be able to shed some light on this. So there is the tax credit. So it's an extra 10% for upstate
yes,
productions.
Correct.
But also, do you find that it is cheaper to purchase things in comparison to New York City, or if you have to shut a street down, or if you, you know, those other costs that go in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, Buffalo is second to none because mm-hmm. you go to New York City, they don't want you there.
No. Yeah, yeah, no.
You know what I mean? They don't want
you.
Shutting down
Times
Square.
Yeah, I was going to say, shutting down a street, trying to, like, permits galore, mm-hmm. fines on top of this, you know, let alone trying to get police, you know, mm-hmm. where
yeah.
Buffalo is very much like, what do you need?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you need, we will make it work.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, shutting down streets for what we need is one phone call. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that is the Buffalo Film Commission with right. Tim Clark and Rich Wall. Like
yep.
they are incredible human beings mm-hmm. who have literally brought so much to our area, and they have just created something that they will pick up the phone and mm-hmm. they will, you know, answer and make it happen.
Yeah.
And that is like nowhere like anywhere else in the world, because we're eager. We're happy to do it. We're the city of good neighbors.
Right.
Yeah.
So we want to be a part of it.
There's definitely like, To your point, Buffalo is where I always say we're a pretty large city with a small town mentality. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I think everybody here is 2 degrees away from knowing somebody. So to, yeah. to Kyle's yeah. point, like in New York, you know, we've all lived in New York. In New York, it's like, I want to get to this place, but you got to talk to this person and this person and this person mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. anywhere. And here, it's like, I want to get to this place. And it's like, oh. My cousin knows that person.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. he so, owns it.
Right. So you're 2 degrees away from knowing, like, ahead of something
yeah.
to where you can just yeah. get on the phone and call this person who's like, oh, I make that decision, and of course I'll help you out.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. now people are waking up. You know, like the idea of like keep Buffalo a secret, like for some things, yes. But in other ways, it's like we need to let the secret out a little bit because people need to know how
oh, yeah.
awesome it really is.
Well,
here.
I think yeah. it was let out a little bit when we just did the last film here, which was Hallmark coming
oh, was
in
that Mario
to do.
Lopez?
No. So that was actually Great American Family. Hallmark did the Buffalo Bills holiday touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Bills
okay.
story.
Holiday set, yep.
And part of that is it's directly involved with the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with that means is you need to have a conversation with the Buffalo Bills
right.
to make
mm-hmm.
a Buffalo Bills movie. And the comparison that the production company was telling us from the Bills to the Kansas City Chiefs from the year before is completely night and day.
Yeah.
I wonder like, why.
I wonder, I yeah. was going to say, Kansas City.
I wonder
City.
Who was better.
You know, the Chiefs kind of just stopped the gates at every chance mm-hmm. that they could
yeah.
and tried to charge whatever they could. And the Bills were just like,
let's have some fun.
Here's the keys. Yeah. Let us know when you're
and
done.
We have the best fans, by the way. So,
well, yeah.
I mean,
right,
whoever you
right,
need,
right, right.
they'll come.
Yeah. I mean, as Which, you know, because you didn't have any, you did not have a hard time finding extras for that.
No. We ended up casting over 2,500 extras.
Oh, that's
Jeez.
Amazing.
2,500.
Oh wow.
One night at the stadium, we had, I think, 1,700 people.
That's amazing.
For extras, and it was... You know, and of course we're worried in because we're like, you have to think that many people in one area.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can
yeah.
only screen so much, but
right.
it, like, I don't know who's going to be,
yeah.
you know?
Right. Yeah.
And
this is my moment.
But, you know, but we had a lot of faith that like, it's Bills Mafia.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So.
We know how
they
well,
yeah.
at the same
And they
time.
Came in the gates and they were the most well behaved, well like
Let's
listening.
Go, man. Let's go.
People we've ever
it's
met.
For the Bills. We
Y'all
all
that Buffalo?
Come together for
Y'all
the Bills
hear that?
Shovel
yeah.
snow.
And
yeah.
you'll see on our Instagram we've like had a few like TikToks and videos that we like recorded from that night and just how people are just listening.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
cheering and doing yeah. the crowd work and like
yep.
they were all game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter if they were in the top row to the bottom row to right next to camera, like they were there
yeah.
locked in.
We got a lot of actors here.
You didn't know it. You didn't know it.
It was great. You know, it was an amazing experience.
But the production
really
will see the production teams will see that. And when they think, where do we want to do this? It's
yeah.
like,
Everyone
why not
talks.
Go where everybody loves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where everybody loves to be.
Exactly. I
yeah.
mean, that's the only reason why I knew about the Mario Lopez, because
yeah.
he had posted it because it was
yeah.
like a little cold, I guess.
Yeah.
When he was
him.
Filming, he was like, it's
it
snowing.
It was June.
And
it was snowing.
Exactly.
It's fine.
It's snowing. And it's
little cold.
Summertime. But he looked like he enjoyed it. But
he
that
did.
Kind of stuff, I mean,
it sticks.
It came out just like on my feed. And I was like, why is Mario Lopez talking about that? And then I was like, of course. Because
yeah.
we're Buffalo and we have the best talent.
Corey, you've brought up in previous episodes about, you know, going when you went to New York
mm-hmm.
for extra opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, that's where you went, even if you wanted
yep.
to just have some work
Now it's nowhere.
Now it's home. It's back here at home, you know?
You know, and what a lot of actors look for to do is they try to see if they can become union, which is the Screen Actors Guild. In order to do that, there's like only two paths you can do it. One is you get a speaking role. So if you want it, you're constantly just auditioning and just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping one day it happens. Mm-hmm. The other route is that you become a background actor and you try to get cast as background. And if you get three background gigs underneath the Screen Actors Guild, you get vouchers. You get what's called a Taft-Hartley. You then become eligible to join the union. Well, good luck trying to do that in New York, L.A., and Atlanta. That doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Buffalo, you can probably do it within a year. You know, and other people are there for years, decades trying to.
It's their career. Their background work is some, like in New York, it's some people's career.
That's what they do.
And they're doing it for years. And I'm like, just this? And they're like, yeah, well, you know, maybe when they have aspirations to maybe getting that card. And it's like.
And it's hard to get an agent sometimes when you're not a part of the union. And like, it's this weird cycle, catch 22 phase. So for us, it's important is that we saw the growth. We saw that, you know, New York's putting money into this. Mm-hmm. This is our passion to make film. But we saw the need of one, we need more talent that needs to show up for when you make these movies. And two, we need more crew, which is why we created the Casting Buffalo Actors Expo.
Yes. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I don't think that, I mean, I just learned that these extra roles can then help you in your career as an actor.
That's how I got my SAG card.
Really?
I was performing random.
I want to hear.
Everyone, please put it on your list.
What was it?
It was a Rumor Willis movie.
Okay.
It was like a scary movie or something. Anyway, I was dancing back, but the director came back and we had to wait this like ridiculously long time. But it was in Pittsburgh. It was a small town. They're like, hey, you guys want your SAG card? But it was because it was like a small town and that's just what it was. It was Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they were like, we feel really bad. I think it was almost like 2 days straight that we were like waiting. Then we had to do these rehearsals whenever she was available. It was just a lot going on. But you don't get those opportunities in New York and LA. It just wouldn't have happened like that.
So the Expo was born.
It was, you know, it was something where we saw the need. We knew we've been hearing about the rumors. We know that things were going to happen. And for us, it's just like we want to make sure the city's prepared for what comes. And now it's here. So like this year, this is actually our third year doing the Expo. And this year it takes place on August 23rd at the Atrium at Rich's from 12 to 7. And what we wanted to do is just like in our third year, really keep expanding to what we're doing. So we wanted to touch base on crew. How do we crew up? How do we make sure that, you know, either it be from people who want to change their career, look into something new, has something that's like within the same realm where like, hey, you know, I'm really good at woodwork, but like I can do that in a movie set and build sets. To someone who's coming straight out of college or looking to come out of college and have those opportunities as an internship or get on as a production assistant and kind of learn where you want to go. We really wanted to expand in that way. So this year we have a ton of different workshops through Film Neighbor Network, who's presenting that. We talk about locations and camera department and grip and electric and art department and how you can kind of weave and learn about
everything.
Those departments.
Yeah.
We have a PA, production assistant certification course that's starting the day, ran by two of our amazing local PAs who've been to New York and coming back because it's busy. They are running that course, and it's through us and through Casting Buffalo and Buffalo Camera, where you can get a certification. So you can get certified as being a production assistant, learn how it is when you first hop on set, the expectations, know the basics, what's a C-stand, what's walkie lingo, what if I handed you a walkie, how do you talk?
And this is open to anybody.
This is open to anybody, all ages.
Even interested, all ages. They don't have to have prior experience.
No. Okay. And that's why I think this is a type of convention is like we want anybody who's like fresh off, you know, trying to find their way in the world to like people who maybe did it a few years ago or like just want to refresh. But it's also an amazing networking event. Because like, especially, you know, Corey, like in this business, how you keep busy is by networking, by impressing, by continuing to have conversations and finding you're weird, you know, find you're weird, you're going to be able to keep doing things. So, you know, a lot of what we designed for the expo is to basically create a network for you mm-hmm. without you having to do a lot of the legwork. Just show up, be prepared, meet people, talk to people, take in the information as much as possible.
Awesome. And that's coming up August 23rd. So right around the corner. And everything kind of comes full circle. You know, we were talking about resources and how everybody's involved. And we actually, the Buffalo Film Commission actually used to be housed in this building.
Yes.
Buffalo,
I've been
Toronto,
here many
Public.
Times. Yeah.
If you order DoorDash from here, it still comes up. Buffalo Film Commission. And Marshall, Quiet Place 2, like John Krasinski was here. You know?
Yes, he was. He had an office.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like everybody comes together from all areas of the city to make these things happen. So it's an exciting time.
Yes.
And we got a lot of other exciting things coming up. The theater scene. I feel like we need to get Nayla here as often as we can, because I feel like she's going to disappear from our lives in September.
Her enough is going to come up. I know. Up is when everything, floodgates open for theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we come back from the break, we're talking about all things musical theater. Group Chat on BTPM NPR. We'll be right back. Thanks for checking out Group Chat, our new pop culture show on WBFO that talks about what you're talking about each week. Music, movies, food, technology, arts, culture, and more. And we want to know what's on your mind. Join the chat by dropping us an email at groupchat@wbfo.org. We welcome your questions, comments, and suggestions on what you want us to talk about. Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with my guests, Nayla Ansari-Cotillo, professor at Buffalo State University, choreographer and performing artist, Kyle Mecca, director, filmmaker, and co-founder of Casting Buffalo and Giant Monster Productions, and Corey McCants, performer and host of Buffalo Toronto Public Media's digital series, Compact History and Compact Civics. Corey, give me your new Instagram again.
New Instagram. Y'all can follow me at It's Corey V, ITSCORYV.
Okay.
Is this your hard launch? Sure.
Yeah. I made it like 2 days ago, so this is it right now.
Yeah. And I feel like we just have to get Nayla in here whenever we can. She's starting to get real busy because Dreamgirls opening at Shays on September 10th. Yep. September 10th through September 28th. Rehearsals this week.
Yes, the rehearsals start this week. I'm so excited. After, like, production can get so daunting. Like, people don't know that you're, like, literally in production for almost a year prior to, like, the show coming out. Yeah. So you're just in, like, logistics meeting after, like, budgets, and you're just, like, looking at decimals, and people are like, it's over budget. No, no, yes. And then when you get a yes, you're just, like, excited for the day, and then you go back to a no. So it's just a lot that happens.
Yeah.
But this is the fun part, like, in the actors, you get your first read, you get the, like, this, especially because it's a musical, so you get the songs and the band, and you know, it's so exciting. I can't wait.
I'm getting chills right now. And your production company, you now have your own production company, right? Ansari Saxon Productions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome.
How did this production company start? And what is the mission behind the company?
So Karen Saxon is my co-founder, and we've been doing shows forever together, I feel like. But after a while, you kind of get tired of just only doing the creative part of it when you're still on the back end doing a lot of the producing side of it. And for us, there's just not that many Black and Brown shows that are produced here in Buffalo. Karen and I were like, we need to be able to build something on our own. We have the talent, and we also want to bring in the talent, find investments, get money, so we can not just see a show once a year. We have more shows for folks to see that aren't kind of like your more traditional musical theater shows, and get it out and get it exposed. And not just musical theater shows, but shows in general. We're working with a company now called Passing the Crown, all women's hip hop show. That's super dope.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a festival in Denver with a Rhapsody, and then there's a show in Lincoln Center with MC Light. So we're working on bringing them here. So it's just like a magnitude of just bringing different women and you know, Black shows, Brown shows to the forefront. And what does that look like, even if it's not necessarily fitting that musical theater traditional mode? But so many folks kind of just only think of it as like a community theater kind of space. They don't necessarily know the bigger end of it. Like when you see Broadway shows now, you see a lot of celebrities that are starting to invest and put in money and put in shows. And that is not kind of the traditional model that we're used to seeing here mm-hmm. in Buffalo. So Karen and I were like, you know what? We have a lot of actors here that are amazing. We have a lot of talent. We have amazing shows outside of Buffalo mm-hmm. that our folks really want to be able to see here in the community in Buffalo want to see. We're a huge theater town. How can we switch the game up a little bit and bring some of those classics, but also some new contemporary flavors to the Buffalo scene?
Someone needed to start it, right?
Someone needed to start it. It's so funny because we've been talking about it for years, and like Karen's husband was like, y'all need to do it. And then my mom like, y'all need to do it. And you know, after a while, you just don't listen to it until you really kind of get forced to kind of make that. It was that need that kind of happened. So we partnered with Shays for our first production with Dreamgirls. And
what a partner.
Right? Yeah, what a partner. Come on. And they've been amazing too. I know.
We partner with Shays.
They were like, all right. Well, you know, and that's to their credit because we've done work for Shays. Like we did their first produced show ever, which was Once on This Island at Five Star. From Broadway world. And so to be fair, Karen and I have put our work in to show that we know how to make good shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Shays was like, let's do this. And so, you know, Brian Higgins and the team, they were like, we got this. And Nakia Campbell, she's our lead producer. And Shays was amazing because she's a Black woman as well, which you don't see a lot in producing mm-hmm. at all for musical theater shows or Broadway shows. So it's been just like a full circle moment for us to say, this is what we need to do with our talent. And instead of just always kind of being at the forefront, like this show we're directing, Karen's the musical director and directing with me as well. And I'm choreographing, but it's also opportunity for us to give other people a chance. Like, hey, we have this really fly director that wants to come in and do this show or do this awesome reading mm-hmm. that's like coming out of Ohio randomly. But we got some dope Buffalo actors. Let's just try it out. So that's kind of what's happening. We're also working with a woman named Jenna Parker, who's originally from Buffalo in New York City. She's been working on a super dope show, her second show. So we're, you know, in the works talking to her about bringing her show in to do a reading and then eventually put up the full show.
And you had mentioned earlier that this is for Dreamgirls. All Buffalo.
All Buffalo cast.
All Buffalo cast. Oh.
George Brown did come back, so we got an equity New Yorker. He's a Buffalonian, though. He's a Buffalonian. But we just happened to get him in between him, like, coming off of a show. He just Goddess in the musical in New York City at the Public. And he just, like, literally has this, like, few-week break before he goes back to New York City. So he agreed to do it, and it's a dope Buffalo cast. The show is Dreamgirls, and a lot of people don't know because they're kind of used to seeing older people play, but it's actually a younger cast because the real show, they're younger. Like, Laurel's like 18 in the show, and so we actually have like a actual 18-year-old in the show. So it's a wide range.
Wow.
So, and newbies, like there's faces, like a lot of time in theater, it can look like the same faces in Buffalo.
Right. So you're going to send the cast list over.
Yes. I'm making sure. Already talked to Pete.
Cast
in Buffalo.
This is how things happen in Buffalo.
There you go.
And with that being said, there has to be a way for both of those worlds to collide because it's been so separated for like so long that this is theater and this is film, and you have to be able to know how to do both. You have to be able to act for camera and also act live.
On
and they're
stage,
not and they're not the same.
Yeah.
Same
with
like doing production work. And a lot of times now with Hamilton, we know we'll talk about Hamilton. They had like a 6-camera over it was ridiculous like for when they filmed. Also be able to know how to film live theater because that's the name of the game now too. You know what I mean? And what does that look like now for newer shows that without having to go through all the rights?
Corey, as an actor yourself and hearing about all of this, what does this mean to you? And then also, as you're mentoring students, because this is a young cast for Dreamgirls, and they're from Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, it's always exciting. I think being from Buffalo, whether you're currently in Buffalo or not, hearing this should be exciting to you. You know what I mean? Like, knowing your hometown is finally starting to get some of the light shine on it that it should for so long, because talent is not new here. Talent has been here. You know what I mean? Hard work has been here. So like now other people are just starting to see it. So it's so exciting. On the other side of it, there's been a few times through Casting Buffalo, through some other, you know, Travis who's up here with Pan Am, through a few friends I've gotten reached out to because it's like, hey, I know you're a teacher. I know you deal with kids. You couldn't fit this role because it's for a 7-year-old. But if you know a 7-year-old. And so like there's been a few opportunities where through my friends, I've gotten to put my students on, whether it be they get the role or not, it's like, I'm telling you this stuff, and now you get to put it in practice.
Yes.
So even at this young age where it's like, so that it's safe for you, your parents are involved, it's no high pressure, but you get a glimpse of it so that when you are 18 and you get out there into the real world, you're like, oh, no, I don't know if you noticed, Corey McCance was my teacher. So I know what I'm doing. Like, I've been exposed. I've been exposed, and you know what I mean? I know it. So, like, on that side of it, getting to hear what Casting Buffalo is doing and getting to hear this stuff, like, I'm so ready for it because this next generation, man, we're going to make sure that they up for the challenge, yeah. You know?
Well, and I think exposure, you know, everything everybody's been talking about, whether it's, you know, casting or exposing people to show that what goes on behind the scenes is showing younger people the possible jobs that you can have and what actually goes into making these productions and just showing them that they can do it too and start somewhere. And, you know, whether it's in theater or movies or behind the scenes, you know, I think we take for granted that we know how everything works, but to show kids and college students that there's a lot of different jobs you can have.
I'm a huge advocate of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, I loved movies from the day that I first saw something, you know, the more I learned about the behind the scenes and the jobs and who does what, like, it's, to me, it's just, it's addicting.
It is.
You want to put yourself in that environment as much as possible. Everyone thinks, oh, you want to direct, you want to produce, you want to write. I mean, it's like, it's that same world, but it's like, have you seen what art department does and what they can create?
That's a thing.
You know, like,
and how integral they actually are. Yes. So many roles you don't realize are so important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, lighting, how important lighting is, and learning how to, you know, how to gaff and how to, like, make you look great without makeup.
Right. There you go, Kyle. Like Pam. I know you brought up Hamilton. Mm-hmm. The 10th anniversary already.
Really?
I know. It's crazy. Oh. 10 years
already. There's going to be a special performance at the Tony Awards. What is the significance of Hamilton, and how does it play a role in your lives, you know, especially with you, Naila?
I think it brought theater back to the world in a specific kind of way. There's fundamental ways that you know when you're in that world, like the technicalities of what things should be versus like what the exposure is and then how you can leverage that exposure. So for me, like, do I think it's the most hip hop thing in the world? Absolutely not. But you know, I think it opened up doors for people to come back into the theater world and live theater and musical theater and try to kind of push upon some of these traditions that may not fit us anymore. Absolutely.
I do agree. What it has done, you can't take away from it.
No.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like the mass appeal of
what it did, whether it's bringing people back in, whether it's opening people up to the idea. Like most of the time, the first of its kind or the early of its kind won't be the best, but it will be remembered for that. And so you can't take that away from it.
I feel like it's almost like what Avatar did when it came back.
Yes.
It reinvented some things, right? Like here's 3D.
Right.
Yep.
Here's putting it on IMAX cameras. Here is computer generated effects to the nth degree. And everybody drove to the movie theater again.
Yes.
The highest grossing movie of all time,
you know.
But when you go into context, it's fine. And I respect it. Like, I've seen the second one. I actually think the second one's better, but that's me. Like, it's fine. Great. But you respect for what it did and brought.
Absolutely.
Back to the theaters. And now, you know, theaters are struggling again.
Yes.
Because with streaming. So, of course, another Avatar comes out next year.
Right.
So,
right.
When's Hamilton 2 coming?
Hamilton 2.
Well, I mean,
2.0.
That's probably not far off.
No, you know it's going to happen.
An announcement, you know, especially with the 10-year anniversary.
Right.
Are we predicting that on the Tonys, maybe? but also, you know, social media was also a huge part of Hamilton's promotion. Have we really seen that in the past? I mean, TikTok.
And it was on Disney Plus, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I would say that was my exposure to it because I couldn't get to New York and getting tickets for it was ridiculous. So, and when did it come out of Disney Plus? Wasn't it like 2020?
Yeah,
I was going to say.
It was during, they shot it and it was like all these different camera angles that we had.
So for me, that was the first time I saw it. And it was just like, okay, it's good. It's not the same experience as in the theater.
Right.
But like.
But you got to see it.
I got to see it.
Yeah.
Because everyone talked about it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it has ushered in a new generation of theater goers?
I think it opened up for theater goers and people that want to go to the theater, yes. I also think it opened up a can of worms for a lot of people to get into theater that maybe are leveraging the money and investment that come out of it, like the Disneys. Mm-hmm. Like initially, they were kind of just in this commercial film television world, and now they're like, we didn't know it can make that much money. Live theater? What?
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with Kyle Mecca, Naila Ansari-Cotillo, and Corey McCants. You know, some other theater conversations that have come up in the debate of the live audience was Jamie Lloyd's last few onstage productions. So Evita starring Rachel Zegler. Mm-hmm. So she apparently, the main scene that everybody wants to see in Evita was performed outside of the theater and the mm-hmm. people in the audience didn't actually get to see it, but it was streamed. So what are your thoughts on that? Does that...
It's just not live theater.
Yeah.
Like COVID, we had to stream because we needed a coin and we couldn't do live mm-hmm. theater. Nobody was like purposely streaming live theater because right. it's great. First of all, it never looks good.
No.
On it does not translate the same way. No, it just
none of it. Right.
It
right.
doesn't sound good. I mean, it's just not. It's not built for that. It's the same reason why like there's no justification for AI to like have someone on stage. Like nobody wants to watch a robot on stage.
Right.
Like, yeah. There's certain things that it's good for, and there's things that it's not. Theater is meant to be live. It's meant to be ephemeral. It's meant to be like, I felt this.
Yeah, it's personal.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and I always say, like, I may not be a physician or anything like that, but, like, you can heal people when you make them forget about their problems for 2 hours, mm-hmm. right, or an hour yeah. and a half. Like, that's a healing in itself, that you get people to be present all the time. That's yeah. really difficult to do. And when you can sit at home and just, like, oh, let me pause. Let me go get some popcorn. Yeah, and then let me go back different. To this dramatic yep. scene.
Right. Or be on your phone while right. you're yeah. watching it.
You can't in the theater, yeah. there's still, even though you can eat in there now, so that changed. But there's still that etiquette that you have to be present. Like you can't have your phone on, you can't yeah. have all these things. And I think when you take that away, it's no longer theater.
Yeah.
It's just some digital form of it.
Are you cheating your audience?
I've had like talent mm-hmm. ask me, should I go for acting lessons? Should I go for this? You know, how do I, you know, brave my craft and be better? And I'm like, go to theater.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you are watching master crafts every single time you step mm-hmm. in that theater mm-hmm. and watch stage. Because they have to go from point A to point B every single night through a performance.
Right.
And you get to watch that emotional journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're trying to do in 5 seconds.
Right. Right.
But like, go see how they do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
And you're not yeah. like, line.
Yeah,
wait,
there's
yeah.
no cut. There's no cut.
Stop.
No,
like,
no,
you mess it up.
That.
You're
mess
there.
Up that line. Y'all better figure it out to yep. make the story make sense. Like, yeah. or, you know, something happens.
Figure it
like,
out.
You yeah. know, like some light can go off wrong. You know what I mean? A cue's called off. I think you have to be the most resilient human being to do theater. Mm-hmm. You really do, because you have to trust your gut and you have to be in the moment all the time. Like, you can't just all of a sudden be like, something happened before I got on stage and now I'm thinking that in the middle.
Yeah,
but
nah,
it just doesn't, it no. can't happen. You have to be there all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's why whenever I see all the things that you do when I see live theater, I think I can never do that. That's why I appreciate it so much. So I know you're all very busy people. What do you have coming up this weekend? What are your plans? What are some things you are working on?
Rehearsals for Dreamgirls, September 10th through the 28th. Tickets are selling super fast. I'm not just saying that because people are like,
no, I tried to get like, some yesterday and I was like, yeah, I had to pick a different date.
Yeah.
I think
I got to get
some,
on that then.
They're
yeah,
legit.
We need to all
out.
Do the same
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
oh, my goodness. Kyle, what about you?
We have the Casting Buffalo's Actors Expo coming up on August 23rd at Rich's Atrium, 12 to 7. It's coming up. But we have guests like Tom Fontana, Buffalo's
Love
boy.
Tom.
Let's go.
Buffalo State alum.
Yeah, exactly. He's coming in. He's going to be our keynote speaker for that. Actress Charlena Moya from Buffalo. She was in How I Met Your Mother, Conjuring.
Yeah.
So she'll be in town too. But it's going to be the place to be, the place to network and kind of launch your career. So August 23rd, Casting Buffalo Actors Expo.
I'm just gonna wander through just so I can see.
Please do.
Yeah, man.
Next time we see Bentley on TV.
I'm like, wait a minute. No.
Bentley got cast.
I'm just gonna hold something over here. I just wanna hold a light.
We'll teach you everything you do and then you get cast and
oh yeah,
boom.
And then I
you know?
Throw up before ever.
But we'll teach you how to throw up the right way.
See, this is why I love group chat. Listen, Josh Allen throws up before every game.
There you go.
And,
sometimes
and
it's
as
just what
he should.
It is. That's what it is. Carrying that city on your shoulders.
Right.
So for me, if we get this gig, I'll be in New York.
For commercial?
Ooh,
for
yeah,
commercial?
Yeah. So if we get it, fingers crossed, you know what I mean? Yeah. But also, my birthday's coming up, so I'm doing like a bossed up 36. I'm 36, man. I'm turning 36. So it's a bossed up 36. It's like we're having it at a speakeasy. It's a little secret.
Classy,
yeah, secret room. Everybody got to come in their best, like, mafia formal attire, you know what I mean?
I
so if I got to play a little part, feel me? But it's going to be super dope. I'm excited for that. So you know.
When's your actual birthday?
The 18th, August 18th.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you know.
So am I.
Yeah.
That explains so much.
Like, right.
Oh,
my. Yeah.
Aries.
Wait, I have three. Aries.
Yeah,
Aries.
Yeah.
Wait, we have two Leos and two Aries. Aries and Leos in a room together. That wraps up today's episode of Group Chat for now. If you want to continue the conversation, make sure you follow us on Instagram at BTPMNPR. Also, check us out on the video podcast on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel. I'd like to thank my guests, Kyle Mecca, Naila Ansari-Catillo, and Corey McCants. I'm your host, Bentley. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.